This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Have you heard of Common Core Standards, the new plan being adopted in public schools across America? It's a plan for a national standard to be imposed that will decide what American kids learn and what they will not learn. Parents are really upset about this plan. Nationalized education standards should be unconstitutional under the 10th Amendment, which limits federal influence over the states. The General Educational Provisions Act, a federal law, prohibits any department, agency, officer, or employee of the United States from exercising any direction, supervision, or control over the curriculum, program of instruction, administration, or personnel of any educational institution, school, or school system, or over the selection of library resources, textbooks, or other printed or published instructional materials by any educational institution or school system. Close quote. Now that sounds pretty strong from federal law, a law specifically enacted to severely limit federal control of education. The new Common Core standards do limit local control of education. They are copyrighted and owned by private organizations. Federal dictates assure that 85% of academic standards in reading and math will strictly adhere to Common Core standards, leaving only 15% of the standards eligible to be altered by a local district. For example, Common Core does not teach cursive writing, and if a local school wants to teach it anyway, instead of keyboarding mandated by Common Core, cursive writing would likely use up the entire allowed 15%. Now, we're always being told to get advice from other countries, so how about taking some advice from our neighbor, Canada? Canada has no national standards. All standards are adopted locally, and Canada does not even have a national Department of Education.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Can we send you the latest edition of the Education Reporter? Just write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 and read about what's working and what isn't in schools across the country and in your community. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 or go online to eagleforum.org. Join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com. to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Wayne from Canada. His new websites are justiceforgermans.com, and you can spell it either way, either with the numeral 4 or F-O-R, justiceforgermans.com. And he is also retaining the other one, which is justiceforgermans.wordpress.com.
Yeah. It's all the same. It's just much easier to find it now.
By the way, already. Thanks for noting Thomas's book Hellstorm: The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947. It's an excellent book.
Oh, it is indeed, and I enjoyed your interview with him as well. And I've got that posted up there. I put that up there on Friday as well.
Yeah, very nice of you. Thank you.
My pleasure, and I really appreciate his work as well. So we dealt with that bit of the testimony from the Nuremberg trials, and you know, this came up time and time again. I mean, I haven't read the entire thing; it's just volumes and volumes and volumes. But you can, you know, go through those documents looking for that word, and it comes up over and over and over again. And they tried to use this Hossbach memorandum in the course of the trials as well. And those trials, by the way, I mean, you have to realize that the Germans, the National Socialist Germans, were presumed to be guilty from the beginning, and it was just a matter of them trying to make their case. And you know, this has been covered in other programs that you've done with various other people. That you know, a lot of the testimony was. Incriminating testimony was extracted through torture.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And through doctored documents and so on. So it was just them trying to basically cover their butts. I want to bring up here the historian A.J.P. Taylor. A British historian, very noted, reputable British historian. He wrote a book in the early 60s called The Origins of the Second World War. He dealt with the subject of Lebensraum and the so-called Hossbach Memorandum practically from the outset in his book. And what he found, it was not reliable to begin with, that it was an unauthorized document. This gentleman did not have permission to be authoring that document and publishing it, and that Hossbach himself was the only person who signed it. He thinks that the document was edited or altered and presented at Nuremberg, and that even the IMT did not find it particularly useful or at least incriminating, even though it had been evidently doctored. According to testimony of Hossbach himself. So, anyways, but they used the word Lebensraum and that theory of world conquest based upon that word, over and over again. So he, let's see, where was I here? Okay, so it's he goes into quite a dissertation of this whole document. I mean, he admits at first he was even taken in by it, but then later realized that you know, it really shouldn't be considered at all. He also refers to the second book a couple of times, so he obviously believed that that book was authentic and trustable. But as far as the Hasbach memorandum goes, he had decided, no, we can't accept this. Any real, you know, honest historian should not be accepting this document.
Right. I really do appreciate him, despite the fact that he was British. He was pretty objective in his views.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he was definitely not pro-Hitler.
Right.
But he was, I think, you know, doing his job as an honest historian should do.
Right.
And trying to be as unbiased as possible. And, I've quoted him quite a few times in different things that I've put out. Let me just, okay. With regard to before I get back into this here with the, let's go to, Taylor. Taylor, that's what we're at here. Now, he was saying that, I'm going to skip to a major section of what he said here in the interest of time. And by the way, I've compiled here basically about 30 pages of notes from different sources and different things put together on this topic. And what I'm going to do is later today or this evening tonight, as time allows, what I'm going to do is I will be posting this interview and as well as some of my notes on this. And then I'm going to make this available as an ebook for people to read for themselves, which will go into a lot further detail.
Super.
Okay. All right. And from a lot of different sources all put together. And it'll be, I don't know, I haven't finished editing it yet, but it'll probably be between, 25, 30 pages, something like that.
Great.
So this is what Taylor had to say. At the time, no one attached importance to the meeting. Hasbach left the staff soon afterwards. His manuscript was put in a file with other miscellaneous papers and forgotten. In 1943, German officer Count Kirchbach looked through the file and copied the manuscript for the Department of Military History. After the war, the Americans found Kirchbach's copy and copied it in their turn for the prosecution at Nuremberg. Both Hasbach and Kirchbach thought that this copy was shorter than the original. In particular, according to Kirchbach, the original contained criticisms by Neurath, Blomberg, and Fritsch of Hitler's argument, and criticisms which have now fallen out. Maybe the Americans edited the document. Maybe Kirchbach, like other Germans, was trying to shift all the blame onto Hitler. There's no way of knowing. But what he, let's see, skip ahead here. It says it contains no directives for action beyond a wish for increased armaments. Even at Nuremberg, the Hasbach memorandum was not produced in order to prove Hitler's war guilt. That was just taken for granted. What it proved in its final concocted form was that those accused at Nuremberg, Goering, Raeder, and Neurath, had sat by and approved Hitler's aggressive plans. It had to be assumed that the plans were aggressive in order to prove the guilt of the accused. Those who believe the evidence in political trials may go on quoting the Hasbach document or Hasbach memorandum. They should also, however, warn their readers, as the editors of the documents on the German foreign policy, for example, do not, that the memorandum, far from being an official record, is a very hot potato. The Hossbach Memorandum is not the only alleged blueprint of Hitler's intentions. Indeed, to judge from what some historians say, Hitler produced such blueprints continually, influenced, no doubt, by his ambition to be an architect, yet another Gauck. These historians even underrate Hitler's productivity. They jump straight from Mein Kampf to the Hossbach Memorandum and then to the table talks during the Russian War.
Okay. We are taking a break. We will be right back.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
From Canada. His websites are justiceforgermans.com, and you can use either the numeral 4 or the word 4, F-O-R. Alrighty. What were we talking about? Okay, we're talking, well, the trial. Oh, that.
Yes.
They planned these trials as early as 43. They did it to gain credibility. They did it to, of course, focus on the German guilt, the so-called German guilt, so that people would not look at what the Allies had done to Europe. I mean, there were so many reasons why they did these trials, but But people took them seriously. And then, of course, they made movies of them. And, after World War II, all kinds of things occurred.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's why, I nicknamed it the Nuremberg Flying Circus Show Trial.
Oh, absolutely.
It was just nothing but a kangaroo court from start to finish. And there's really nothing that came out of those trials that, you can really, rely upon. And, the rules of evidence would just never have been accepted in America or Britain or Canada. As they were practiced there in Nuremberg at the time, most of that, the so-called evidence would have just been, laughed out of court, right? So, and yet this is still, held up today as being, a totally valid and just or exercise in justice. And it was an absolute disgrace, an absolute travesty of justice. And it was all meant to cover up, really, the crimes of the Allies.
And the ongoing crimes. There were crimes going all the way, to 1950.
Yes.
Right. It's terrible stuff. The deportation and
the very things that they were accusing the Germans of doing. They themselves had been practicing, yeah.
Terrible.
And it's just horrible. But anyway, so as I say, the Hasbach document itself is quite lengthy, so it's way too much to read. But I will be contained in this document. I'm going to make available in a PDF later today. But what this conversation was about in 1937, it dealt with, Hitler was just talking about, the realities that Germany found itself in. He was talking about geopolitics, basically. People have this impression that in Europe, every country there was just peaceful, minding its own business, didn't want a war, didn't want anything to do with anybody else. They were just minding their business. And then along came this guy, Hitler, and kicked up a big storm and wanted to go invade all the other countries. And, and they just had to turn around and react to that, and yet the reality is that, following World War I and the Treaty of Versailles, they were constantly plotting how they can further encircle and entrap Germany, constantly. And so Hitler had to take notice of this, and while trying to build Germany up to just recover from what had been done to it, and also to maintain itself, what was going to be necessary in the future to maintain Germany, to be able to provide for 85 million people, and he was he had to always be looking at what are the British going to say about this? What are the French going to do about this? What about, if the Italians do this, what if the Spanish or, all of these, he had to constantly be aware of what these other countries might do in this case, that case, or what's, and so on and so forth. Now, look at the United States of America today. I can tell you that, they have operational or battle plans for the invasion of Canada. That's published. The CIA has those available on their website. That they've always had plans to invade Canada and many other countries. They have all these different contingencies and so on.
Sure.
For various situations that come up. You would be an absolute fool to not have contingency plans to protect your own interests in when certain things happen,
As long as you're on the defensive.
Right. Exactly. And so what Hitler was doing in the course of this conference, what he was projecting forward as to what might happen at a future date. Nowhere in this document does it say that he's going to attack Poland or the Soviet Union. Right? Nowhere.
Right.
And yet that's, you know, what we're led to believe, that this was, a well laid out, well thought out, plan, and that it dates back to 1924 when he first wrote Mein Kampf, that he could project himself forward. He was psychic, you see. He knew where he was going to be in 1941 and what was going to be happening at that time. He obviously knew he was going to be chancellor. He knew he was going to be the leader of Germany, didn't he, in 1924 while he was sitting in jail for 5 years.
Right.
Or serving a 5-year sentence, anyways, you know. I mean, come on. Right? And, but, you know, leader would not have to, look at the circumstances that you're in. You're in the center of Europe with all of these countries around you who do not want to see you get off the ground. They're happy to see you on the mat. Now, they're happy to see Germany weak, and they're making plans all the time and making, you know, all these different arrangements with other countries to encircle you. So, you know, he's having to, you know, all the while he's talking peace, and not only talking peace, the documents show, you know, the German White Book and even the British Blue Book documents that Hitler was constantly pursuing policies of peace with its neighbors. And, you know, all the way through till 39, when he was forced to attack Poland, which was basically not so much as an aggressive attack, but again in response to what was going on with Poland.
Right,
so,
and what they were doing to the minority Germans there.
Exactly, and their incursions into German territory, and their total belligerent attitude towards Germany with regard to the negotiations pertaining to Danzig.
But he would not have gone to war over Danzig. I think that they could have worked that out. And in fact, Hitler even offered to build a railroad, a large transit system that they could have under their control. I mean, he did everything in his power.
He was going out of his way, yeah.
Yes. So he wouldn't have gone to war over Danzig, but he certainly did go to war because of the incursions that the Polish were making into German territory and the fact that they had murdered so many Germans under their jurisdiction.
Absolutely, yeah. And they were becoming increasingly more aggressive and belligerent towards Germany, egged on by the British and the French.
Oh, absolutely.
Who guaranteed them support.
Yes, indeed. All righty, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Diana. Our guest today is Wayne from Canada. His website is justiceforgermans.com. And you were talking about the encirclement, that they were trying to encircle Germany. And Uncle Rick in the chat room said, just like they are doing to Iran right now. And so we see that they never actually change or alter their tactics or their or the way they operate.
Same with Syria. Exactly. No, this is what's going on, what was going on all the time. So here, you know, they're taking in a document which was, you know, tainted from the get-go and was very vague, only talking in theoretical terms about various eventualities which might take place at a future time, depending on what other nations are doing and how they might respond to what Germany's doing. And what they totally ignore is all of Hitler's peace initiatives, which are extremely well documented. That's not entered into evidence whatsoever.
You
know?
Right.
They totally ignore all of these things that are extremely well documented, and that furthermore that he part of the problem was, as I said from the get go, was with the Treaty of Versailles having lost so much territory, and being able to for Germany to sustain itself in realistic terms, it was just almost impossible. So Hitler, instead of, you know, going out and trying to attack other countries, what he was trying to do was get back what had been Germany's to begin with. And although he wrote off the Alsace-Lorraine region of France in the interest, basically, of peace with France. And with Austria. Now, that's funny, because in this document, in the Hossbach document, it comes up that Hitler wanted to true attack Austria and Czechoslovakia.
Amazing. Yeah. And, of course, that's why they kept Deputy Rudolf Hess in jail until they murdered him, is because he was in Britain attempting to make peace, because there was a faction of the British higher-ups who were looking for peace, who wanted peace.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And the thing with we have to realize with Austria was that that was not a hostile takeover.
Of course not.
Right? That was totally democratic.
They and voted yet, that way.
Right. Like 99% or more voted in favor. I'll be posting something about that in the near future. I've got something prepared on that.
Right. And that was before they had black boxes and could cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do in this country.
Right. And in Austria was, it, you know, like I said, it was left as a kind of a rump nation, a total, all by itself, landlocked in there, and was doing terribly through all the time that, you know, after Hitler came to power in 1933, where German economy was steadily rising and living conditions were improving. It was still terrible in Austria. So, you know, they were looking over the fence and going, hey, what about us? You know, we'd like some of that too.
Sure.
You know? And, so yeah, there was no need for Hitler to aggressively, go in there. And, it's just, of course, historians just don't acknowledge that fact, that it was totally democratic. And then we look at, you know, what happened with the Sudetenland, which had, you know, previously been part of, actually not Germany, but of Austria-Hungary, but these were ethnic Germans. And they were lumped together with the Czechs and the Slovaks. Artificially into one nation, and this country was kind of, the way it's built, it kindly drove an arrow right into the heart of Germany, basically.
Right.
So there was that was by design opposed as a somewhat of a threat to Germany by design, but there still was the issue of this German speaking minority, this ethnic minority. And, you know, they were being brutalized, by the Czechs.
Right.
And Hitler saw it. He didn't go in there all on his own, march in there and take over type of thing. You know, he sought international cooperation to put an end to that.
Right. Well, and he got it. They thought, yeah. Even Churchill said, well, yes, certainly we see nothing wrong with that. And right. They were using it kind of as a carrot to, lure him to do something, and so then they could say, oh, look what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In reality, I mean, it was, that was also, you know, an exercise in democracy. I mean, those people, they'd had enough. They've been of the tyranny that they were under in Czechoslovakia, their rights being violated and everything. It was even in Britain, most people felt that Chamberlain had done the right thing.
Yes.
In going along with that, A.G.P. Taylor also acknowledges that
right.
Over 80% of the Brits had no problem with that whatsoever.
Right.
So. And yet, you know, Hitler's, you know, always, you know, vilified for things like that. So, and then there was the issue of the Eastern Territories. I mean, Hitler was even willing to, you know, forgo most of that for the sake of Danzig, where, you know, again, over 19, you know, I think it was well over 90% of the people there wanted to return to the Reich. They had been under League of Nations mandate and wanted to return to the Reich, but, you know, Poland wanted to control it for themselves.
Polish officials were very warlike, and were, as soon as they were created, they were all for pushing east into Russia. I mean, they were very, very warlike. And, of course, we have to remember that 10% of the population of Poland was made up of Jews. And so that was probably, and they control the press, and they were very, and they did also control a lot of the churches, because you know, they just had this this influence, and that is why the Poles seem to have gotten away with persecuting the Germans all that time for two decades. Because
and it was not being reported about, even though the German side was complaining about it.
Right. And they were supposed to have a policy that they were to treat the minorities with justice and equality and all of that. And when they did do something, they knew that they weren't going to get into any legal trouble for doing whatever they wanted to do to the Germans, because it was all set up with the Versailles Treaty. It was set up so that they could do that to the Germans. And that was a long time before Hitler came along.
Yeah. And then on top of that, they were pledged unconditional support.
Right.
By the British and French.
And by William C. Bullitt.
Mm-hmm.
From Roosevelt's agent in France and Poland and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was really a big setup, you know. I mean, long before. I mean, at the time when, you know, the Treaty of Versailles was forced upon Germany. I mean, it was a setup to, you know, almost from the get-go.
Sure.
Right.
The only way they signed that treaty to begin with is because the Allies were still blockading them and starving them long after they signed the armistice in November, they didn't lift the blockade for months and months, maybe nine months. So it was either, you either sign this treaty or we're going to starve you all to death.
Yeah. And of course, the other thing that always gets overlooked is the fact that the Russians also occupied Poland. And that was never brought up.
Right. They invaded on the 17th, 17 days later.
Yeah. And yet the British and the French and everybody were just going out of their way to try and get Stalin on board with them.
Oh, absolutely. All righty, we are going to a break. We'll be right back.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
John Statler here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Our infrastructure is failing and our government is corrupt. We have some hard times ahead. If there was no way to get medical help, what would you do? How are you going to protect the safety of your family during a crisis when there are no doctors, hospitals, emergency services, or supplies? Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a nano-engineered silver unlike any other silver product on the market today. This technology has advanced antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties. And more than 200 independent clinical studies and trials have shown that it's effective in over 500 different uses. Supernatural Silver can be stockpiled and stored for over 10 years. And in a collapse, it could be priceless. It can be used daily to fight off colds, flus, and other pathogens, and yet it's powerful enough to combat some of the most deadly diseases in the world today. Make sure your home is well stocked with Supernatural Silver. To order, go to supernaturalsilver.com. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off, and like us on Facebook.
His website is justiceforgermans.com, and you can spell it either with the numeral 4 or the word, F-O-R. All righty.
Okay, so we're in the interest of time now. I'm going to do just a quick wrap-up here on the issue of Lebensraum, and then I want to get back to the issue regarding the second book of Mein Kampf. So regarding Lebensraum, he had kind of solved the problem, really, without war, because Austria, in the Hasbach document, he was talking about the potentiality of Austria being used against Germany, Czechoslovakia being used against Germany by the French, particularly, and that there might be a threat there. Well, he got rid of that threat. By its own will becoming part of the German Reich, and the same thing with the Munich Accord, solved the same problem. So it really kind of, took those threats away. Germany, became very innovative, in terms of becoming self-sufficient. in industry, you know, coming up with, you know, many, you know, such artificial oil and fuel and so on. They tried to solve their problems in that regard. There was one other point there, but it just escaped me now. So let's, they found ways to, you know, reclaim, unused land, swamp land and so on.
The whole program, the NSDAP program, was about doing that so people could get back to work, so they could use land because they were short on land.
To produce more food so that they could feed themselves.
Exactly.
Without having to go out and have a war of conquest and take over anybody else's territory, as the Brits and the French and the Americans.
Right. To have cheap labor so that they'll do all the work for you.
Exactly. Okay, so now let's get back to the second book, which I mentioned earlier. There's this problems there. I'm not saying it's totally bogus, but we have to, you know, consider a number of factors here. And so I'm just going to read what Wikipedia says about it. It says only two copies of the original 200-page manuscript were made. Only one of these copies has ever been made public. Zweites Buch, second book, was not published in 1928. Was not published in 1928, as Mein Kampf was not selling well. This is what they say.
Yeah, because it was selling very well.
And Hitler's publisher informed him that having two books out would depress sales even further. but by the time Mein Kampf started to sell well after September of 1930, the Reichstag elections, Hitler decided that the Zweites Buch revealed too much of his foreign policy goals. No proof, no citations offered for that.
Wikipedia offer any sources?
Right. And then it goes on. It says, kept strictly secret under Hitler's orders, the document was placed in a safe in an air raid shelter in 1935, where it remained until its discovery by an American officer in 1945. The authenticity of the book was verified
like
by... I think we get his name here in a second. Let's see. Okay, the document was placed in a safe, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the authenticity of the book was verified by Joseph Berg, a former employee of Nazi publishing house Eyre Verlag. No proof, no citations. And it was verified by Telford Taylor, the former Brigadier General, USAR, and Chief Counsel at the Nuremberg War Crime Trials.
Well, we're sure going to believe him. He went on to be an officer at the official U.S. Memorial Holocaust Museum.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to believe him.
Mm-hmm. And it goes on, the book was neither edited nor published during the Nazi Germany era and remains known as the Zweites Buch, or second book. The Zweites Buch was first discovered in the Nazi archives being held in the U.S. by the German-born Jewish-American historian Gerhard Weinberg in 1958. Just by chance, it fell into his hands and just happened to be just declassified at that point in time. Unable to find an American publisher, Weinberg turned to his Jewish mentor Hans Rothfels and his associate Martin Brosatz at the Institute of Contemporary History in Munich, who published the Zweites Buch in 1961 in German. Rothfels wrote the foreword to the book in 1961 edition. A pirated edition was translated into English and published in New York in 1962. The first authoritative English edition was not published until 2003 as Hitler's second book. Now, I want, again, this there's actually two. There's one is called the second book, the other one is called the secret book. So again, you're going to have to differentiate between the two of those. With regard to Gerhard Weinberg, the Jewish historian who, you know, found this in the American archives and proceeded to translate it, there is a good article about this, although filled with typical propaganda as well, in a UK, from a UK source. This is an article from, I think, 2003. What it says about this gentleman, though, and I'm going to include this in the PDF that I'm going to upload later on my site for people to read this on their own, because we're going to run out of time here soon. He was born in Hanover, Germany, and his family left in 1938 and went to England. According to what was written here, his father was actually interned in England for at least a year or so, going by what I read here. And then from there, later on, they emigrated to the United States. And so he's got, you know, an axe to grind, this guy, right?
Sure.
It just happens to fall into his lap. He just happens to become this historian who just happens to be at the right place at the right time when this is declassified, falls practically right into his lap. Okay.
How fortunate.
Now, the thing is that there's a lot of material in this book, which one, you know, can see, you know, this has, you know, Hitler in it. But you have to be, you know, aware of the fact that it, you know, portions of this may have been altered. And what the book itself is it really, from what I can, I haven't read the whole thing, I'll tell you that, but, from the way it's laid out, the different chapters and so on, it relates very much to the same things that he was talking about in the Hossbach, conference. Okay? Foreign policies, potentialities, what might arise in the future, things like that. It was also, if we believe the official story, not that it was written in 1928, or dictated, I should say, in 1928, Hitler was nowhere near close to power at that time. Again, he couldn't foresee, you know.
Of course. I mean,
he wasn't clairvoyant that he was going to be the chancellor, you know, that he was going to be elected. But he still had to, he was still trying to put, you know, get his people together, get Germans together. At that point in time, he hadn't had a lot of success, so he still had to deal with a lot of different factions, and he had to speak to a lot of these different factions with different, you know, things that they were concerned about. So he had to, this was basically a series of speeches, as I understand it. It was not intended as a book, per se, right?
Right.
These were
makes
speeches.
A lot of difference.
Yeah, and he was talking to this group, he would have to tell them this. If he's talking to that group, something else, right?
Right.
So, anyway,
wow.
Look for it later on my site today, later on today, this afternoon or tonight.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Wayne. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.